Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 85 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
We're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, how's your week been?
My week's been okay. Thank you so much for asking. I got to do two really cool things this week that our listeners might be interested in. One was I got a exclusive media sneak preview of Scream and Stream, which is the drive-through haunted house. This was the one that was down in Kissimmee, Boggy Creek Airboats, last year. And they're coming back, same location, but a whole new storyline, new theming. Patrick Brailliard, who is a writer, head writer for Halloween Horror Nights for many years, is going to be joining their team doing the storyline. And they only showed us a little bit, but it's got some sort of zombie-style infection going on. It seems like it's going to be much more interactive. You're going to get laser guns for the passengers. Unfortunately, the drivers don't get to hold guns, but if you're a passenger, you get a laser gun, you get to shoot at people. and there's some cool special effects we got to see, so keep an eye out for that. I think tickets are being sold now or very soon. And we posted an article on attractionsmagazine.com about
that. Yes.
And I also got to interview Kevin Smith, who's one of my heroes. He's coming to town here to do, doing his talking tour Q&A, doing an outdoor socially distanced one. So I got to talk to him for like an hour, and that's going to be in the Orlando Weekly on Wednesday. And that was just a great interview. We got to talk about everything.
That's so cool. He seems like such he's exactly the same cool guy.
On the phone as he is, you know, on the DVD commentaries or the behind the scenes. He's just the same guy on screen and off. So how was your week?
My week has been good. Josh is out of town again, so it's just me ruling the house. I had a adventurous day today. Brody ran out of his natural food. And it's sold out everywhere. I had to try my hand at making it myself. I spent like 2 hours in the kitchen cooking this big batch of food. So that was exciting.
So it's basically what, like a fish stew?
It looks like a salad. It's like sweet potato, russet potato, green beans, broccoli, and cod, actually.
Okay. It actually sounds very healthy. Did you taste test it?
No. I did not, but he licked the bowl clean, so I think I did something right.
I think it might be the special this week at Panera.
If you see that recipe at Panera, you'll know. And then I've also just been catching up on shows. I watched Shadow and Bone, which everyone is talking about on social media because of Ben Barnes, who you might know as Prince Caspian from those movies. Yeah.
That's going back ways.
And he was also in Westworld, which is what I recognized him from. He is the villain, Byronic anti-hero kind of guy in this series, and everyone loves him. Right. And then I started The Boys on Amazon Prime today. And it's bananas, not family friendly whatsoever. So we won't have to talk about it here. But that's all I've really been doing, just hanging out. Cooking, watching TV.
Sounds like a good weekend.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Oh, John said it might be better than some special stuff. I mean, I don't want to brag.
Panera is not a sponsor of this show, so we don't we don't need to keep dropping their name.
Without further ado, let's get into the news. There's a lot this week.
Yep.
A bunch of Cedar Fair parks have released their updated COVID-19 protocols as they are gear up for reopening, most specifically Cedar Point, Kings Island. I broke down all of the parks and their various rules. There's a lot, but they're mostly the same across the board.
I gotta say, bless your heart for breaking this down. Just looking at all of these bullet points gave me a headache.
It took and me a while.
Trying to figure out, you know, each of these parks, you know, there's parks in California, there's parks in Virginia, and everything in between. And each one seems to have a completely arbitrary set of different rules. If you can figure out the logic between why one park has temperature checks but not masks and another park has masks, it's like... they played Mad Libs with health precautions, and it was just pick one of column A and one of column B. So it's you've got some. I think the example that really kind of blew my mind was California's Great America is doing temperature checks and is requiring face coverings for everyone indoors and outdoors. However, when you scroll down to their other California theme park, they are not requiring masks. What's the name of that one? All the way down at the bottom of the Knott's Berry Farm. Scrolled right past it. Yeah. So Knott's Berry Farm are only is doing the face masks, but is not doing the temperature checks.
Yeah, a lot of the parks are not doing temperature checks.
Temperature checks, I think, are the next big thing to go by the wayside. We just had here in Orange County, we've got some changes that we're going to talk to later on, but we had our health commissioner come out and say publicly that they didn't think that temperature checks were a good use of resources. Temperature checks definitely seem to be on the way out, but there are some places that are doing temperature checks but not requiring face masks. So... Yeah. Your guess is as good as mine, how they decided. I guess it depends on a particular state, a particular county or city, all subject to different local regulations. I would think if nothing else from a corporate level, it would be easier to just set one standard.
Yeah.
and reduce some of the confusion for guests and employees.
It would certainly save me a lot of time. Yeah. Because if you're watching the video version, you can see it took a while. And if there had just been one set of rules for all the parks across the board, mm-hmm. I would have just done this once. But because they all arbitrarily varied in one way or another.
I think we need like a grid. Like a grid, and you can just check mark off which one's following which rule.
Oh, see, that would be smart. I never said that was smart.
I mean, you need something. You need a chart with like red strings going all over the place and photographs.
A conspiracy board.
Yes, exactly. But if you are planning on going to one of those parks, be sure to read up on those rules before planning your trip, because a lot of them have limited capacity and want to get their guests to plan their trips in advance.
So yes.
Know before you go.
Yes. In other news, Disneyland Paris is retheming the Disneyland Hotel to a Royal Disney Princess kind of vibe.
So this will make me take a second look at the on-site hotels at Disneyland Paris the next time I go, which will hopefully be sometime in the century when the park finally reopens. Obviously, you know, they're like, well, we're closed. We spent all this time rehabbing a hotel that we haven't been able to open yet, the Art of Marvel New York Hotel, which is ready to go.
It looks great.
So I guess what this means is that whenever Disneyland Paris does reopen its gates, the Disneyland Hotel, which is right there at the gates of the Disneyland Park, will be closed. You'll be walking under it, but not in it. It looks like it's going to get a makeover that is kind of more in line with some of the more upscale hotel rooms that we've seen go into Disney World in recent years, or even... got some shades of the hotel, the cabins on the Magic. I'm sorry, the Wish, which we're going to talk to about in just a minute.
Yeah. Luckily, they are not doing anything to the outside.
No, I expect. I hope it will get a fresh coat of paint. Because at least the last time I was there, it really needed it.
Mm-hmm.
All of these hotels, it's kind of infamous the way that Disneyland Paris way overbuilt their hotel capacity when the resort first opened. And because the hotels did not bring in the revenue that they were intended to, they didn't get the upkeep and the regular refurbishments over the years that they really should have. So this is long overdue, and While I swore that the next time I went to Paris, I would not stay overnight at Disneyland Paris, I might have to have a second thought.
You might.
At this hotel. We'll have to see what the room rates are like. That's going to be a lot of euros.
Yes. The hotel will have various influences from across the Disney princess canon, like Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, Frozen, Tangled. Mm-hmm. Guest public areas will be reimagined to pay homage to these films and characters, and all hotel rooms and suites will be entirely rethemed. As you can see in the concept art here, if you're watching the video version, it's got a Cinderella theme going on, lots of golds, ivories. It's very pretty, very upscale. If you took away the portraiture that I just assume is there for concept purposes, it wouldn't look like a Disney room. It would just look like a very fancy hotel room.
But I bet you there'll be lots of little hidden details in all the molding and bedspreads and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems really nice. And this kind of, it brings all of the hotels over at Paris together, because now all of them have some kind of IP or character anchoring
it.
Yeah,
they've gone around to is it the Santa Fe and the Cheyenne, and give them Pixar themes now. And, you know, it's interesting because they've kind of gone full circle. Originally, the hotels didn't really have strong Disney theming. And I guess they've learned their lesson and gone around much in the same way at Walt Disney World. You know, we're getting Moana in the Polynesian, and we're getting The Incredibles at Contemporary. A lot of these classic hotels that were sort of an escape from the Disney park now are going to be an extension of the Disney park.
You'll never be able to get away.
Nope.
Over at Legoland Windsor Resort in England, they have shown off the first look inside Lego Mythica World of Mythical Creatures. Try to say that three times fast. Their newest themed land that opens on May 29th, and it looks really cool.
Yeah, this is going to be home to the UK's first flying theater, which kind of blows my mind because we've got so many Soarin-type rides around United States and around the world now, that it's kind of crazy to think that there's nothing of that flight simulator style with their feet dangling that's been built anywhere in the United Kingdom before. This one is going to be very familiar to people who have been to Lego Movie World in Orlando, and I'm in Florida, and because it uses the same ride system, but obviously they've got an all new film. And if you look on our website, we've got a little teaser clip of the ride film that people are going to experience on that.
I can't wait for this to open purely because I want to see the scale of these incredible builds.
Oh yeah.
Against regular guests.
That massive white lion sculpture, got that the scale of that boy, how big is that thing?
That's like at least, that's one person.
Yeah,
maybe like three people.
Yeah,
if you put them shoulders.
You better not get hungry and come off of there and start eating children.
Well, this guy is the star of that flying theater attraction.
Okay, so he's a good guy. All right.
Yeah. And then they've got dragons. They have, this looks like a troll or an orc or something, and they have a kind of a more scary looking sea monster guy than what we do.
He looks like the angry cousin of the guy at the Lego store at Disney Springs.
Yeah.
Like he's the black sheep of the family, maybe.
Yeah, they kicked me out, sent me to boarding school in England. Now I'm here.
I also think it's going to be neat that they're going to have a digital tie-in. There'll be an interactive app that you'll be able to use to build your own Lego Mythica virtual creature.
Yeah, with augmented reality, so they'll be able to scan things in the land. And the tickets are pretty affordable, I would think, $40 per person per day. So if you happen to be in the area and you want to check this out when it opens on the 29th, do it and then come tell us about it.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Lego Movie World, you brought that up perfectly. We finally have an opening date for California. Woo-hoo. Legoland California Resort will be opening this new land finally on May 27th.
And it's not just an exact clone of the Lego Movie Land or I'm sorry, Lego Movie World, which we have in Florida. It does have the same flying couch ride based on Emmett's triple-decker couch from the film. And it's got the Unikitty Drop Tower. But instead of the Splash Battle ride, I believe they have a carousel and some other flat rides and interactive meet and greet and lots of food.
Yeah, lots of food. A crepes place? Mm-hmm. It's 2020 and 2021, which are basically 1 year in itself, is the year of the crepes.
Year of the crepe.
Every theme park has to have a crepe place. There's also Benny's Playship play area, a build zone, and all sorts of other cool things. I love the super suite. I've never been to Lego Movie World in Florida. I haven't done that yet.
Mm-hmm. It's adorable. It's yeah. Very well done. It's compact, but they packed a lot into it.
I can't wait for this to open because I remember it was just about to when everything shut down, and it was such a shame to, you know, have the rug pulled right out from under them, but good to see them get a date again. Universal Studios Hollywood is Universal with, I think throughout COVID and the pandemic, they've really kind of been blazing the trail as to being like the first theme park.
They've
brand
been aggressive. They opened before Disney and SeaWorld down here in Orlando. Mm-hmm. You know, they opened CityWalk before Disney, Downtown Disney, I believe. And now they're the first to welcome out-of-state guests. Sort of welcome. Welcome. Welcome might
they're
be
like...
stretching it. Allowing, permitting, tolerating. So before you go rushing off to buy your flight to Hollywood, which I personally am actually going to be doing very shortly. But I'm planning ahead. Okay. The first thing you need to know is that you cannot purchase a ticket online if you are out of state right now. They will only sell you a ticket at the box office. And number two, be prepared. You will have to have proof of your COVID vaccination. I guess it's anyone 16 or over is going to have photographic proof of a completed vaccination card. That you know, if you're taking one of the two shots, you've got to be 2 weeks past your second shot. And I believe I don't know if there's a exception if you're under 16. I think no at this point. Some places have been talking about having people under 16 if they've got a test. But I think Universal right now is just you've got to be vaccinated and that's it.
Yeah, so, Universal straight up said
yeah.
16
no
and above.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, there you go.
And then it is also possible that you could get there on the day of to go buy your ticket at the gate and they're full.
Their capacity, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Because you can't make a reservation in advance if you're out of towner.
So it's like if you really want to.
So you're rolling the dice. It's a crack in the door.
Yep.
The window is beginning to open, and I think you know I personally my hunch is that by the July 4th weekend we're going to see these kind of restrictions really opening up.
Yeah.
That's my gut feeling. But like I said, don't go buy your plane tickets yet and say, Seth on Attractions Podcast said, give me a refund, charge it to his credit card. No, not going to happen.
You can send Seth Cash App notification requests for...
I'm not going to send you Venmo for your the hotel you booked and can't use.
But so far, they are the only California theme park that I think there might be some low-key, like SeaWorld or Legoland maybe, that are also doing this.
Knott's and Disneyland are still California residents only this time.
But this is a statewide legislature, so this isn't Universal Hollywood just going a willy-nilly and letting whoever come. This is as a result of new legislature from the state. So. Right.
Private property, they can always enforce something more strict than what the state legislates. And you know, we know Disney's going to probably be conservative, if nothing else, just to maintain capacity and not have a flood of people.
Yeah, I saw Disney trending, or Disneyland specifically trending on Twitter, I think, all week.
Yep.
and pictures, like a Variety article, people crying. Yeah.
Great publicity off of the reopen, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think the pent-up demand is insane, and they're going to try to control it however they can.
Yep.
You also alluded to this mm-hmm. earlier, perfectly. Orange County in Florida has amended their mask mandate and social distancing rules. And pretty much, like, the light at the end of the tunnel is visible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are in what they call their new phase one, and that means that as of now, you don't have to distance 6 feet outdoors. You only have to, in all settings, indoors and outdoors, you only have to distance 3 feet. And from my observations in the theme parks over the last week, people gave up on 6 feet a while ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss 6 feet distancing. I'm going to miss having a legitimate excuse to not want someone breathing down my neck in a queue.
Right.
It hasn't quite gotten back to shoulder to shoulder, but I definitely am feeling it just out and about. People are walking close. They're not leaving those same paranoid bubbles that people were a year ago, for sure.
I like those.
Yeah,
space.
I'm gonna miss it a little. But phase two, when we hit 50% of the people in Orange County 16 or older having gotten at least their first dose, then it's gonna be pretty much no more social distancing or masks outdoors. They're still gonna have restrictions and masks indoors. But then if we get to phase three, which is 70% of the population has gotten their first dose, all bets are off.
Yep.
And like I said, the government can say whatever they want. Private property, they can set stricter limits. So don't look for Disney to jump and throw out the masks the very day this is announced, even if some of the people in the parks. I was in the park the day this was announced.
Oh,
and
boy.
I just heard people all around me who just heard about in the news and saying, well, why are we still wearing these masks? Why?
Oh my goodness.
If you're in a park, you go by the park's rules. And until Disney or Universal, whoever tells you that their rules have changed, just keep following the rules and don't hassle the employees saying, well, didn't you hear on the news that we don't have to do this anymore? They don't listen to the news. They listen to their bosses. So,
yep.
Yeah. But it does mean that, like, we're going the positive direction. Not positive as in, positivity rates and testing. I mean, like, positive as in good.
Yes. Some positivity is certainly welcome right about now. But this is promising. Yep. I will admit I'm a bit nervous to go back to the parks because likely by the time I get back, it will be the sans mask era, shoulder to shoulder, and I'm not sure I'm ready for that yet.
Yeah, and I honestly think that there are plenty of parts of the world where wearing a mask is perfectly culturally appropriate, and I think that'll kind of stick around. There's going to be some people who, yes, will object and refuse, but I think there is always going to be people from now on who want to wear a mask and want to stay a little distant, and I support that.
Yeah. So. I mean, think about it. How many of you have worn a mask all year? When was the last time you got sick?
Yeah, exactly. I haven't had a cold.
In a whole year.
In a year, it's great.
I usually get it twice a year when the weather changes. Yep. And then I this year, it just hasn't been a thing. We finally got an update on Trader Sam. We officially know what will be taking his place. It's not an animatronic of Miss Falls, as we had previously theorized. It will instead be a gift shop with kind of a Jurassic Park-esque nod.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one who saw it. Yes. So we've got a gift shop. It's kind of the lost and found. So it's all the stuff that people who took the Jungle Cruise left behind ends up at this little shop that Trader Sam is running. And to avoid uncomfortable questions about Trader Sam's appearance or ethnicity, or why the fact that he looks completely different in the Disneyland version versus the Orlando version, we have simply removed Trader Sam entirely and said he's off in the jungle collecting more stuff. And in the meantime, these adorable animals have taken over his shop. One of them, if you're familiar with the Disneyland version, looks pretty much like the baby elephant that's been there for years. at the very exit, and hopefully we're going to get his brother coming to Orlando. But yeah, I think the key little bit here is a couple of adorable little, are these capuchin monkeys or some sort of very small primates fighting over a pair of red and white polka dot boxer shorts, which I think is maybe a Mickey Mouse reference. I don't know. But they are doing a tug of war that looks suspiciously similar to the Compy animatronics on the Universal Jurassic Park River Adventure ride.
It's just so funny.
And if that is like a conscious like tip of the hat, that's a deep cut. Because originally, in the original Hollywood, you know, version of that ride, right around where you had those in the Hollywood version, I think they were fighting over a box of popcorn. Mm-hmm. But floating right next to them was a Mickey Mouse, Mouseketeer hat, which was like Universal's first reference to Disney in one of their rides. And so for Disney to now turn around and sort of like do a copy of that moment, nodding back. Maybe we're just as fans reading way too much into it.
Listen, you can't do that. You can't put two animatronics fighting over a single thing like that, and they'll likely
think about that.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. I can't wait to see all of the detritus and garbage that Trader Sam
it is
has
definitely,
collected.
They're the prop designers in Imagineering, I'm sure, are having a field day. You know, I'm sure it's going to be one of those things that you're going to want to hop off the boat and stick your head in there to see all the little stuff that's. I wonder if any old leftovers from the Adventurers Club are going to make their way.
Ooh.
Into that. It wouldn't surprise me, because everything's in a warehouse somewhere.
We're going to have to do like a hunt and find.
Yeah. Yes.
Thing
we need telephoto
day.
Lenses
yes.
And really zoom in on that.
All right. Oh, I can't wait. They haven't set a specific date when this will be installed. But if you've been on the Jungle Cruise at Walt Disney World lately, this entire area is covered with ghillie sheets.
Yeah. And they're pretty much doing this stuff piece by piece overnight. It doesn't look like in Disneyland, the ride did not reopen with the park. But in Disney World, it seems like they're going to kind of do this piecemeal, have minimal downtime for the ride.
Yeah. I think Disneyland said that it will open this summer at some point.
Great.
So can't keep an eye out for that. This week, the show is sponsored by Views and Cues on Etsy and their scratch-off theme park and amusement park maps. These unique maps include the top 50 theme parks in America and is the perfect size to fit most frames at 18 inches by 24 inches. So you can scratch off each one you visit as you get through them. And Orlando naturally has too many theme parks to fit in a single square of
areas. Orlando gets its own breakout box.
Yeah, which is so funny, I think. And then meanwhile, you see like the Midwest is just barren. This poster is a must-have for any theme park fan, and it makes a great gift for the theme park fan in your life. And you can easily find it by heading over to Etsy.com and searching theme park scratch-off poster. Thanks, Views and Cues.
Thank you.
Let's do the main attraction.
Let's do it, because I know we have some people in our chat who want us to talk about
really bad.
Really.
It's time for the main attraction.
Okay, you've been asking. Here it is. The Disney Wish. We finally got a full reveal of
this
crazy ship.
Watching this reveal stream was just, it was like, and another thing, and just everything that they introduced just made me want to pull out my credit card and throw it at them.
It made my wallet hurt.
I know.
Because there's so much packed onto this ship. It's insane. Not only is it going to be the biggest, but it has some of the most luxurious amenities I think I've ever seen on a cruise ship before. It has an attraction, which is nuts.
I will say there is no such thing as a bad Disney cruise ship. My personal favorite is the Magic, which is the smallest and oldest of the ships. I can't imagine like what it's going to be like, though, to be on something this big, this advanced, and like I just want to eat there. Like, I just want to eat in the restaurants every night for the. It's killing me that I think they're only going to do like short cruises at first, like
yeah.
4 days, 3 days, because I want to be on this for 7 days. I want to be this, you know. But yeah, let's start talking about some of these. Let's talk about that attraction right off the top.
All right.
So if you've been on some of the other Disney cruise ships, you might be familiar with the Aqua Duck, which is a water coaster that's on, I believe that's the Fantasy and the Dream has the Aqua Duck. So this is sort of like the next generation of the Aqua Duck. It's the Aqua Mouse. And it is basically a combination of an aqua coaster and a dark ride with what appears to be animated digital show scenes inside the tunnels that your raft goes through. So not only do you get to see the ocean, you get to see the people on the decks below you, but you get to see a little adventure that looks very much in the same animated style as Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So this is kind of like maybe a spin-off of that.
I was just thinking that, like, what if this is in the same universe as Perfect Picnic?
Yeah, that would be awesome. This is just them going on another vacation.
Exactly. Yeah. This attraction will also have unique lighting and sounds, and you're going to get water splash in your face. It's going to be so cool.
I personally really loved the Aqua Duck. I think, you know, other than like, you know, the big Krakatoa aqua coaster that they have at Volcano Bay, it's one of the better aqua coasters I've been on. I even think it was a little more fun than the Crush and Gusher that they have at Typhoon Lagoon, even Ooh. Though it's short. But I thought they packed a lot. But I thought that the tunnels were a little boring, that they were a missed opportunity to have more special effects, more story. And this is exactly what I always thought that they should have done with that. So, yay, bravo. Bravo, Imagineering.
Yay. The ship will also have three themed areas set for children, families, and then adults only. And they'll all have
Thank
their
heavens.
Own.
And their there's an infinity themings. Pool that yes. they finally upgraded, because the pool in the adult area was always kind of like skin soup. It was always like a little too Ooh. Small for the number. Now this infinity pool is just gorgeous, and it looks like a perfect place to sip a cocktail.
Mm-hmm. It looks so relaxing. Mm-hmm. And then there's the adult section is called Quiet Cove.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear the serenity and lack of children screaming now. For dining, this is what Seth is yes. going to stow away on the ship forever for.
Absolutely. They've had kind of dinner theater before on the Disney ship, especially the Animator's Palette has, you know, kind of integrated a show into the dining experience. And they have a Tangled restaurant on one of the other shows. On one of the other ships that has some entertainment elements. But this, I think, is taking it to a whole new level. Basically, it's a Frozen dinner show where Anna and Elsa are not just going to show up and wave at you, but they're going to perform. There's going to be,
yeah.
it looks like, music and special effects. You know, to really create a whole event out of your dinner. And the little princess in me is excited about that. But I personally, I'm kind of a little past my Frozen phase.
Yeah, that's
true. I am all about the Marvel cinematic dining experience. I don't know at all what this is going to be. And
nope.
I'm sure that my imagination of what you could do with something like this is maybe kind of exceeding what you can, what's practically going to be possible with, you know, these are big dining rooms that seat a lot of people, have to serve
yeah.
multiple meals in a night. But just the idea of having like a dinner show involving Marvel superheroes, what they could do with the technology, you know, that they might build into the room, I'm so excited.
yeah, I'm really interested. They didn't they explained more
were
about Frozen.
They were real vague on this one.
Yeah,
real vague.
But if you look at the concept art, it says tonight's dinner presentation, and then it's the Pym logo back there behind this child's conveniently placed head. And I saw, I think it was Disney Dan on Twitter, was talking about how on cruise ships, I've never been on a cruise, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you cycle between each restaurant each night.
On Disney is unique in that way. Most cruise ships, you're just in the same place every night. But Disney is unique in that you, with your table of people, rotate among the different dining locations. So you'll probably get one night in this restaurant. Each person.
And he brought up a very interesting point that if this is storylined and it takes place over multiple meals, if you're going to miss like a very pivotal chunk of the story because you were at Arendelle, a frozen dinner adventure the night before.
No, My understanding from the way that they have designed these other experiences is that it will be a self-contained experience.
Okay.
You each, the way it wrote, there are three main dining, so you will either have three nights or four nights on this boat. So you will get to experience each of these dining experiences once, and then if you're on a four night, you will repeat one of those restaurants, but it will be a special dinner that isn't just repeating the same thing you did the first time.
Yeah. And then also, other than Marvel and Arendelle.
Oh, for the grown-ups in the house.
For the grown-ups. It's called 1923, and it's going to celebrate the golden age of animation. Makes me think of Carthay Circle.
Absolutely. The first thing I thought when I saw that illustration is that it feels like Carthay Circle or Artist Point or even... you know, at the Grand Californian, it's got that kind of luxurious, old school Hollywood feel. Brown Derby too, little touch of that also. Definitely feels much more sophisticated than some of the other dining rooms they've done. So we'll see how the family friendly audience takes to, you know, upscale classic Hollywood dining.
Something that I'm super excited about is this incredible theater. I'm so excited. The Walt Disney Theater will be home to Disney Cruise Line's Broadway style productions, as I'm sure you've seen online. There's Tangled, there's Beauty and the Beast, they had Aladdin, they had One Man's Dream, I think, was one. But this one will be kicking off with Disney's Aladdin, a musical spectacular.
I got to see this on one of the other boats, and it's very similar with some changes, but very similar to the Aladdin show that used to be at Disney's California Adventure, which I just loved. If this is half as good as the last time I saw it, it's really a great, great show. Definitely worth seeing on the boat. And they're also going to have some new stage productions that they were very cheeky about not telling us anything about in the stream. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens with those. But I'm also kind of excited. I like movies a lot.
Same.
And when I'm on a cruise, if I'm in my cabin, I'm probably flipping through the channels to see what classic movies they have showing. And I really loved it on the first couple Disney cruises we went on. We saw a lot of movies because they were showing a really wide variety, and they were showing some older movies and also some like adult things that weren't just Disney cartoons. And then as the years went on, we noticed that they were pretty much just showing whatever the new release was in the movie theater. And that was... you know, I guess that was what was more popular. But it looks like this new boat, instead of having just one large movie theater, they're going to have two smaller, more intimate screening rooms. And that should allow them to have a more diverse lineup. They say they're going to show stuff from Disney and Pixar and also Marvel and Lucasfilm, but to have classic stuff as well as the current releases. So that's kind of cool.
I know me, I would stress about missing a movie while being on a cruise, be like, oh, I'm going to get back and everyone's going to have seen it already.
Yep.
And they're going to talk about it and I'm going to get spoiled. So this is a nice way to circumvent that.
And if you are lucky enough to be on a Disney cruise the day that a movie comes out, they often show that on, like, I remember the day that Moana came out, they had a surprise that they put it on the big screen in the large theater in 3D. I don't know if they're going to do 3D anymore, but
that's cool.
Yeah.
And then they will also have other stage shows, deck parties, all the good stuff that you come to expect from other Disney cruises. All right, now here is what adults will get in trouble for wanting to do because it's for kids only. The Oceaneer Club, Disney's Oceaneer Club, is getting a major facelift for the Disney Wish with three themed areas that I'm super jealous of, and I wish I was 12 years old again so I could do this. The first of which being Marvel Superhero Academy, where kids can train to be the next generation of Avengers with Spider-Man, Black Panther, Ant-Man, and the Wasp. And I love that Ant-Man and the Wasp are thrown in there because I love the Ant-Man movies.
They've done interactive kids activities with the Marvel heroes before, but never on this scale. It looks like there's going to be interactive stations where you can design your own superhero costumes. And they've promised that Spider-Man will be there to do meet and greets. I don't know if maybe they'll have the robotic Spider-Man from California Adventure and they could just launch him off of the top of the ship.
That would be insane. Tell him to do a flip.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but they are also going to have a fairy tale hall for princess fans that's going to have interactive areas themed around Frozen and Tangled, and as well as Beauty and the Beast.
I love the Rapunzel art studio thing. That sounds like such a charming idea.
And but then the part of this that I am going to be breaking in after hours, they're going to throw me off the ship, is the Walt Disney Imagineering Lab, which they're saying is a first-of-its-kind opportunity for guests to discover the secrets of Disney Imagineers with hands-on activities, including what look like simulators so that you can simulate a Disney ride, such as they've got Big Thunder Mountain as an example in the concept art. But I'm hoping that this is going to be like, you remember way back in the day in Epcot, you used to be able to design your own roller coaster. They'd show you a little video. And then
some of all
they had Cyberspace Mountain at Disney Quest, where you could program a roller coaster track. Well, if this is like, you know, the next generation of that, then I am officially 13 years old. I'll dye my hair. No one will know the difference. Sign me up for that because you will not be able to pull me out of there.
I was so mad when they announced this part. I think this is something that 12-year-old me always wanted, but never got. And kids today, don't know how lucky they are.
Oh, and did we mention that the way that kids can get into this club is by sliding down a slide from the main atrium, which is just bonkers. It's like, luckily there is a adult-sized door.
You say that like I'm not going to slide in. Yeah.
Well, the good thing is that pretty much standard on the boats in the past cruises I've been on, that they always have an open house where adults are allowed into all the kids' club, usually on the first day. Make sure you take advantage of it because this would, if I would want to have a kid just to make them do this stuff so that, and they'd be like, no, Dad, I'm not interested. I'm like, you have to go and take pictures and tell me about it.
Let's borrow someone's kid.
Borrow child. Yes. If you'd like to volunteer your child,
let us borrow them for a little bit. There will also be clubs for the teens and tweens, with Edge for the tweens and Vibe for the teens, with dedicated programming for their age groups, as well as a Small World themed nursery babysitting environment for the teeny tiny babies.
So cute.
I love that. And then the other thing that made me super jealous, crazy, is the Star Wars Hyperspace Lounge, a high-end Dryden Voss-esque bar with magical porthole windows that look out across space as you travel to the likes of Batuu and Tatooine, Mustafar, Coruscant was mentioned as well.
So some of the other boats have a bar that has these magic windows that show, you know, like New York City or Tokyo, different cities around the world. And those are amazing. But being able to look out the window and see another planet, this is almost like a little piece of the galactic you know, Galactic Star Cruiser, the
yeah.
the new hotel that they're opening up. It's like a little chunk of that transplanted onto the ship. And, you know, maybe we'll have some of the signature beverages from Oga's Cantina. Maybe I will be able to get in there and actually have a drink. Because I haven't been able to get into Oga's Cantina in months.
Man.
It might be easier to book a passage on this if you want a Star Wars drink.
I know it's concept art and things can change, but this looks
if you look at that new Art of Galaxy's Edge concept art,
don't even bring it up to me. I'm angry. this looks like Canto Bite, like I would see people gambling over in a corner, like I could pony up to the bar and someone try to sell me death sticks. Like this is, oh, it's just so cool and so slick.
It is not a hive of scum and villainy. That's for sure. You know, you're not going to see anyone get their arm cut off with a lightsaber in here. It's not that kind of place.
However, they did allude to some kind of space happenings in the magical window outside, so you might see...
A little battle going on.
Oh, that would be so cool.
That'd be amazing.
What if they had, like, rumbly things in the walls or the floor, so you I'm blue-skying too hard, but I'm just so excited for this.
Yeah.
In addition to all of those, there are other restaurants like Palo Steakhouse or Palo Steakhouse.
Palo.
And then Enchanté by Chef Arnaud Lalemant and The Rose, all three of which are themed to Walt Disney Animations, not the live-action Beauty and the Beast.
Enchanté is kind of serving, replacing what was Remy on the other ships, which is their highest end extra cost place. I've done brunch in Remy, and it was definitely one of the best meals of my entire life. So I'm sure Enchanté will be. Mwah.
I can't wait. I hope that they have. I know, was it Chef Souffrance that had the little Remy animatronic in the
Yes, they used to have a friend of mine played the waiter who rolled Remy around on his little cart and lifted the little serving steam tray, and there the animatronic was and would wave at people.
I think that's so delightful. Yeah. I would hope that they would do that with like Cogsworth or Lumiere in here. That would be so cute. Wonderful. And of course, if you're trying to get your spa on, Sense of Spa will also be on the ship. And then accommodations, there are a bunch of different kinds of accommodations for a variety of budgets. You have your standard stateroom with no windows and no doors. I'm just kidding. There's at least a door.
It leaves you this chilling challenge.
To not get claustrophobic.
Now, is that... I couldn't tell if that was one of those magic windows in the interior staterooms or if that's just a static painting, because some of the other ships, the interior rooms have these magic portholes, which are little digital windows that help you feel slightly less claustrophobic.
I'm not sure, because the same art that's here is also present in the other concepts.
Okay.
But about 70% of the rooms on the ship will have their own, 1,254 of the rooms on the ship will have an ocean view, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
And that's like your standard porthole, with 877 of that 1,200 having a veranda, which is really nice.
Wow. So, yeah, that's... Wow. That's an amazingly high count for veranda rooms. So... I'm going to have to start saving up for one of those balconies.
Yeah, could you imagine?
No matter how much I save up, I'm not going to be able to get one of their two-story new signature suites. The first time they've had a multi-story cabin with a spiral staircase, I believe.
Oh, these are just bananas.
And a tub that looks like, you know, something out of a castle that you can look out over the water while you're taking a bath. That's not luxury. I don't know what is.
I want that tub so bad. Now, these staterooms. They are they have floor to ceiling windows. They're located above the bridge and they overlook the bow of the ship. They also have a private sun deck, which is pretty neat. But the two-story suites, there are going to be four of them themed to Sleeping Beauty. I think it's Princess Aurora, two of them, and then Briar Rose for the other two. And these are just nuts. The height of luxury. They made me feel poor just looking at concept art.
If you have to ask how much they cost,
you can't afford it. But they look absolutely beautiful. Lots of clean white with gold accents and then blues. I assume the other one will have pink. But man.
No, blue.
No, pink.
No, blue.
But yeah, this ship is just bananas. They put so much into this thing, and I'm sure that there's more that we haven't seen.
Oh yeah, there's, if you look, you can go on their website and see the deck plan of the ship, and it's amazing. You know, they've revealed a lot of stuff, but there are a lot of spots on that ship where it says, you know, more magic to come.
I don't know if I can handle more
stuff to be revealed. Oh yeah. So the only thing is that, like I said at the top, you're going to want to spend a week or more on this ship, but it is only going to be doing 3- and 4-night cruises, at least for its inaugural season. And that's going to be out of Port Canaveral. So yeah, it's going to be an easy drive for me. and their bookings, the ship sails in June of 2022. So yes, you've got a little time before it sets sails, but the sales for the general public go up on May 27th. And from what I understand, if you're a certain Castaway Club member, if you have a loyalty club with Disney Cruise Line, then you can book even earlier than that. So get in touch with your travel agent now. Because you're going to want them to be on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna, a lot of travel agents are going to have a very long day on the phone when these bookings go up.
I just want to see how much it's going to cost so I can just be like, oh, that's nice. And then just pretend I never saw any of this. man, I wonder how fast they'll go to, especially that first cruise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's absolutely, the maiden voyage is going to be gone within seconds. It's going to be like Rise of the Resistance on Christmas.
Oh, that makes me panic just thinking about it. But man, I'm so excited. I never really cared for cruising much. I was just like, oh, that's nice. But this feels like they kept comparing it to like a castle on the seas. And it really does feel like a theme park equivalent.
Honestly, of all the Disney resorts that I've been to around the world, the Disney Cruise Line, I think, still best represents classic Disney attention to detail and customer service, and just the feeling that you are really being taken care of, that you are in a bubble of comfort and luxury and safety. And I really miss it. It's been way too long since I've been on one, and I can't wait to get back. Especially on a cruise ship that will hopefully be full of people who are vaccinated, just like
yeah,
you.
Buddy.
Yep.
Well, if you are planning on booking this on the 27th, may the force be with you, because yes, I imagine it will be.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Chaos, absolute chaos.
Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
And this is the part of the show where I would share listener thank yous for those of you who joined Club and VIP as part of our subscription service, but we don't have any this week. So,
No thank you.
But if you're interested, you can head over to attractionsmagazine.com/store and check it out. There are four tiers, but you only get a shout out if you pick Club or VIP. Just saying.
Yep. And what you can also do is head on over to Apple Podcasts and make sure you leave us a full 5-star review, please.
Please.
If it's just 4.5, keep it to yourself. We want 5 stars.
Only positivity.
It's the
here.
Evil algorithms. We are at the mercy of the artificial intelligence. But you want to leave a review so that it can share our podcast with everyone and get more viewers or listeners just like you.
Yes.
And if you want to join our happy little family. You can find more attractions coverage on the interwebs for me. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Skubersky or at the UG series. And you can find my books at theunofficialguides.com. Brittany, where can they find you?
They can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, as well as every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the past almost an hour. We're really solid.
Yeah, we were like right on time. Good. Should That's I tap dance for the last 90 seconds?
Can
I will
you
say
tap
I will.
Dance?
No, I definitely can't. But I can say that I will be back with you for next week, and then and I will be talking about the Velocicoaster.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's been killing me watching everyone else riding it the last few days, hearing nothing but positive things about it. Finally, me and our publisher, Matt, get to ride it bright and early tomorrow morning. So I will have my full review for you when we talk next week, and then you'll have some guest hosts for a couple weeks after that, while I'm off with the Orlando International Fringe Theater Festival.
Yes. Well, best of luck to you for all of that theater jazz, and best wishes to whoever gets stuck with me filling in for you.
Lucky enough to bask in your shadow.
In my blinding pale computer screen light. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, get vaccinated if you haven't already, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.